May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Unless you've been living with a complete media blackout, I think it's likely you've heard the name Barack Obama many times in recent weeks and months. As a presidential candidate in the US, then president-elect, and now finally as president, news about him has been in the media daily all over the world. Of course, being the first black president of the United States increases the interest. He is young and something of an unknown, unlike the former president George W. Bush, who was known because his father was also president. When someone new hits the news, people want to know more about them. Even when someone is interviewed on a very minor matter in the press, you get introductions like, Betty Smith, 27, single mother of two and unemployed from Doncaster, said. You get those personal details, whether or not they have any relevance to the topic in question. Even if her statement would have been exactly the same, had she been a 60-year-old single woman from London who works in a supermarket, or a 30-year-old married woman with one child who is a teacher in Glasgow, the personal details still get added. It's the same with President Obama. We know lots about his childhood, those with whom he grew up, the influences on his life. In this case, it's pretty relevant, of course. The man that people were considering voting for needed to be known. People wanted to know what kind of person he is, what shaped him, so how he might react to a given situation and so on. They wanted to know if he was the right person to vote for, the right person to make decisions on how America would go forward. Could he be trusted? And of course, if any tiny detail emerged that suggested Obama was not trustworthy or the right person, that detail was written and spoken about at length and pounced upon by the rival camp in order to gain advantage. In the days when St. Paul was on his missionary journeys, he called at Ephesus on the way back from his second journey and formed a church. That was in AD 53. A year later he returned and spent nearly 3 years there, first preaching in the synagogue each Sabbath for 3 months, and then preaching daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus for 2 years. Anyone who has ever seen Ephesus will know what a huge place it is. I believe that so far only 40% of it has been excavated, but it is very impressive even now. It was an extremely important trading centre. It is easy to understand how it can be said in Acts 19 that all the residents of Asia, Jews and Greeks, had heard the message at the end of this time. Paul would have been famous, and word would have spread about him in all the known world, as the story was carried by those who called at Ephesus to trade. Of course, with the story would have gone a new faith, and people would have wanted to know about this man, to know if what he said could be trusted. I have no doubt they would have heard about Paul's youth as a devout Jew, who was born in Tarsus and had the best available training as a Pharisee under Gamaliel. They would know he followed all the rules of the Jews, all 613 of them, which govern conduct in all areas of life. They would have heard how, as a young man, he stood holding the coats of those who stoned Stephen, the first Christian martyr, to death, and how he approved of that sentence. Then, of course, there would be stories of how Paul, still called by his Jewish name Saul at that time, persecuted Christians in his zeal to protect the Jewish faith from this dangerous new faith of the Way. Of course, the most amazing story of all was when God stopped Paul in his tracks in AD 35, and turned his life around on the road to Damascus. From that time on, Paul suffered greatly as he sought to promote the faith he had tried to kill. He was beaten, imprisoned, and shipwrecked, among other things. All in all, there were quite a lot of interesting things to tell about Paul. It's thought that Epaphras founded the church at Colossae, possibly having been converted himself by hearing Paul's teaching at Ephesus and taking it back to his hometown. When Paul wrote his letter to the Colossians in AD 60, it was in response to a report on the church by Epaphras, who visited Paul when he was imprisoned in Rome. Paul hadn't met the people he was writing to, but I have no doubt they would have heard all about him and held him in great respect. The church was being led astray by false teachings, and Paul set out to help correct this. Paul told the Colossian Christians what he wanted for them in their Christian walk. First of all, Paul wanted their hearts to be encouraged. Life can be very tough for people, and they may feel hugely discouraged at times. We need to be alert to the little signs that someone is finding life difficult and to be prepared to offer support and encouragement. A simple word of praise or appreciation may be all that's needed to make an impossible day into one that seems doable. It is too easy for us to be tied up with our own concerns and not notice others. Paul travelled with Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement. Let's all try to be a Barnabas, an encouragement to others. We have to work especially hard here in SL, as we can't see body language, and avatar language is really not quite the same thing. Let's allow the Spirit to nudge us and show us when someone is in need. Mother Teresa said, "Let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier." The second thing Paul wanted was for the people to be united in love. It is possible to unite against a common enemy, but once that enemy is defeated, the unity will melt away. However, if we are united because we all love Jesus and are committed to following him, we will find it much easier to love each other. It won't stop other people being annoying or upsetting us, but it will help us to deal with conflict well. You will have heard of some married couples who say that their marriage has been wonderful, with never a cross word for 50 years. I have to ask if these people actually feel anything towards one another at all. If you feel powerfully, it will lead to conflict at times. It's only if you don't really care that there will be no conflict. Resolving conflict can lead to deeper and more lasting relationships. Sometimes we will have to give up our treasured ideas or modify them, and it will certainly mean listening more carefully. Thomas A. Kempis made this suggestion: if Christ is among us, then it is necessary that we sometimes yield up our opinion for the sake of peace. Who is so wise as to have perfect knowledge of all things? Therefore, trust not too much in your own opinion, but be ready also to hear the opinions of others. Paul's third wish was that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He wanted the Christians to really know fully what Christ is like, what effect he can have on their lives. Paul knew from first-hand experience just what a change can come from meeting Jesus. If we have received the light of Christ in our lives, we should try to share that with others so that they can have that benefit too. Although the letter to the Colossians was written at a specific time for a particular church, Paul's hopes for that church are still good ones for today. Wanting people to be encouraged, united, and full of faith is a good vision. In that way, we will help people to be mature in Christ, as Paul called it. As you may know, here in the cathedral, the leadership team is undertaking a time of reflection on our ministry here, and very much wants to hear from everyone. There is little point us putting on services or discussion groups or Bible studies if that is not the way to reach people with the gospel message. Those things can take on a life of their own, and so it's important to take stock at intervals. We have over 500 members, but we don't see most of them each week. So do we really have things right? What about all the people who are not members but need the gospel? The most important part of taking stock is to listen to God. We can do that by taking time to pray together and awaiting His wisdom. Paul mentioned in his letter that he was struggling with all his energy. He doesn't say what form that struggle took, but towards the end of his letter, he mentions that Epaphras was struggling in prayer for the church at Colossae. I wonder if Paul and Epaphras were praying together intensely as they asked God for the best for those Christians. I would ask you to consider joining up with one or two others on a regular basis to meet and pray about this ministry, to struggle in prayer as Paul and Epaphras did. Ask God to show you what should be going on here. Ask for wisdom for the leadership team, and then try to join in the discussions we will be having in the next couple of months, and give us the benefit of your insights, or send them straight to any member of the team. In all this, we need to remember, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labour in vain. Amen.